Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to my colleague, Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field and just a handful of hours off the plane coming back from Pittsburgh, Wes, and a heartbreaking loss for the Green Bay Packers, 31-28 on a walk-off 53-yard field goal by the Steelers' Chris Boswell at Heinz Field. 28-28, Pittsburgh gets the ball on its own 30-yard line with 17 seconds left, and a couple of future Hall of Famers went to work and did in the Packers.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it was one of these games, Mike, you and I were very upfront about this last week. The Packers need to steal one here. And everybody knew what the Steelers could do. They knew what Roethlisberger is capable of. Antonio Brown is the best in the league. It's my first time getting a chance to watch him play live. And from just a pure football entertainment standpoint, he's probably the most exciting receiver in the league to watch right now with what he can do. And Le'Veon Bell was Le'Veon Bell, particularly in the second half. But I'll say this, there were mistakes. The Packers forced three turnovers. Ben Roethlisberger at times was looking kind of shaky there. But when the game came down to it, everything on the line, he went back to his trusted receiver. The Packers were expecting 15 targets for Antonio Brown in this one. He got 12 of them. And then as many plays as he made throughout the course of that game, when it was crunch time, as I wrote in the post-game story that I did, you know, 10 months after Jared Cook in that sideline catch, Antonio Brown did a heck of a Houdini act as well.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that catch on the sideline. I thought, much like, as you said, the Cook catch in Dallas, when you see it live, when it happens, you think, oh, there's no way he's in bounds. And then you look at the replay and it's like, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And in this case, it goes against the Packers and it helps to set up that field goal at the end. I give the Packers a heck of a lot of credit here. I know there are no moral victories. You've got your backup quarterback. You've got a backup right tackle. You're down two of your best players on defense in Clay Matthews and Kenny Clark, who are not in the lineup. Packers gave the Steelers, who I think are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They may go to the Super Bowl from the AFC. They gave the Steelers all they could handle. And if you want to know just how far Brett Hundley has come, and I know last week's game against Baltimore was a clunker. There's no way around that. But to watch him drive the Packers 77 yards in 12 plays in the fourth quarter to get the tying touchdown with just over 2 minutes to go, that was a heck of a drive for a young quarterback. And it included a fourth down pass in the red zone that they needed to keep the drive alive.
The number one, I think, telltale sign about whether or not your team is still with you, you know, through adversity and situations where things aren't going your way, is a drive like that. Because there were so many different guys contributing across the board. Third and one, even before that fourth and six catch by Devontae Adams, that third and one play where, I mean, that's the equivalent of letting your point guard take the ball up court, your star player, your Dwayne Wade, and just letting him pick a shot and just hope that he makes it, your best guy. Brett Hundley throws a receiver screen on a heavy six-man offensive line set to Jordy Nelson. And they asked Jordy Nelson to get that first down.
Yep.
And he stretches out. He gets the 2 yards. The drive continues. They end up being in that third and 12 situation. The screen pass to Randall Cobb sets up the fourth and six. And then Devontae Adams, and again, another career year that he's having right now, over 700 receiving yards, makes a very clutch play to set up what eventually ends up being that Jamal Williams 4-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, the Packers got the game tied up there. And Wes, how many times do we talk about it when you absolutely have to have a drive in that situation, how important the first play is?
Yeah.
And Brett Hundley hits Richard Rodgers on a quick slant over the middle on the first play for 25 yards to get that drive going. The Packers' offense had been bogging down, you know, taking a couple sacks, three and out. That kind of stuff had been going on after the Packers had gotten to 21 points. And to hit Richard Rodgers for that 25-yard pass, get out to midfield right away, you know there's still plenty of time. The clock wasn't really a factor. It was a matter of going down and getting a touchdown. I felt like the entire offense had its spirits lifted by that opening play to Richard.
Yeah, that complexion of that entire series changes if you can't get that pass right there. You're looking at second and 10. Instead, you get an explosive play that puts you at midfield.
Yep.
And from there, they just started rolling. I thought, you know, with Brett Hundley, they were really smart in how they handled him. They designed a lot of rollouts early on to get him comfortable, get him moving. Ended up leading to some big play opportunities, which we'll talk about later. But then when the game was on the line, he did have to make some plays from the pocket. And I thought he was able to do that. The Richard Rodgers catch, I think that shows you again the kind of steady, consistent presence he's been throughout these 3.5 years with the Packers. You know, Richard Rodgers was the number three tight end at one point this season. He wasn't getting the kind of playing time he was accustomed to, but yet he comes up in a big situation there. That's why I said that 12-play series, I think, really was a good litmus test for where this offense is at because of how many different guys had to contribute on it in really clutch key situations. And it obviously, on that particular series, it started with that Rodgers catch.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the big plays that Brett Hundley made throughout the game, and we'll discuss those in more detail after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, Brett Hundley, three touchdown passes, a 134.3 passer rating, without question the best game that he has played as a pro. And it was the big plays for all three of those touchdowns. He finds a wide open Randall Cobb in the first quarter on a coverage bust for a 39-yard score. Gets Jamal Williams on a screen pass that ruptures into a 54-yard touchdown. And the screen passes for the Packers, quite frankly, had been a bit of a mess over the last few weeks. The timing straightened out. Everything looked so much smoother with that one. You get a couple of key blocks, and Jamal Williams is off to the races. And then opening up the second half, coming out with the ball, hits Davante Adams down the right sideline, and then Adams makes a couple moves through the middle of the field, weaving his way past some tacklers for a 55-yard touchdown. Three really, really big plays. And, you know, even without the final drive, this probably would have been Brett Hundley's best game as a pro. And then he gets that game-tying drive also in the fourth quarter. Just really impressed with how a young guy like that could bounce back after the shutout against Baltimore, which obviously didn't sit well with anybody.
Yeah, and he saw the field a lot better in this one. And it's something to be said for that with the defense that Pittsburgh has. There's pressure coming from all sides. It's one of the best units in football, incredibly deep, incredibly consistent. And yet he was able to make the big plays when he needed to. I think about that Randall Cobb, you know, leaking out along the sideline for that 39-yard touchdown to get them going right off the bat. The screen, I thought, was a really big positive for two reasons. One, it's the explosive play that Jamal Williams has been looking for to kind of open up something downfield after he's been sort of this, you know, kind of a punishing type bell cow, but he really has been missing that 10, 15-yard play that kind of opens things up a little bit. Packers have the potential to do that with the screen game. I'm not trying to say this is the 2003 unit, you know, where they had Amon Green and those offensive linemen. That was a once-in-a-generation type team.
That play looked like it, though.
It sure did.
That play looked like the Amon Green with Marco Rivera and those guys out in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing I like, especially on that one. And Jamal Williams, he tipped his cap to Corey Linsley getting out there, making a critical downfield block. Packers have a lot of athleticism with him and Lane Taylor and David Bakhtiari. To be able to get those guys out in space, I think, is actually a big benefit for them right now. And then, three completions for three or four for 98 yards and two touchdowns, I think, at the end of the first quarter for Brett Hundley. So that was exactly what he was trying to do. And for the offense, you know, they needed to be able to establish that in a hostile environment on the road, especially coming off the performance against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and you could see the dejection and the disappointment in Brett Hundley's face and his voice at the post-game podium. He wanted to win this game so badly. He knew he had put together a pretty good performance. And obviously the biggest regret is getting the ball back with a minute 20 to go on your own 18-yard line. The game is tied. The Packers defense had gotten a stop around midfield, forcing the Steelers to punt. And unfortunately, a first down sack by T.J. Watt, a helmet-to-helmet hit that's not called. But the Packers are not only not able to get a first down, but also unable to run out the clock. And there was then just enough time left for Ben Roethlisberger to win this game.
The one thing the Pittsburgh Steelers did better than the Packers in this, because, I mean, to be able to overcome Hundley having a 30-point better passer rating and winning the turnover margin 3-0. But the big thing that the Steelers did well was their consistency with series and drives. I think the Packers, it was sort of this feast or famine kind of thing in the first half. They got the two scores early on. Then they end up punting the ball twice. Then they end up missing the field goal after the sacks. And then, you know, some in the fourth quarter got off to kind of a slow start. They did rebound with that 12-play series. But the thing that Brett Hundley, I think, is going to be able to take away from this is when you're playing a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, a future Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the league's truly elite guys, you never can take your foot off the pedal. I mean, and not saying that he did that, But it shows again that even when you get off to a fast start, even when you do things the right way, Ben Roethlisberger and the opposing offense is going to earn their paychecks too.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with a guy like that on an offense like that. You're on the road, the terrible towels are waving, the whole thing. And you know, like we talked about with the game tying drive in the fourth quarter, if you're able to hit a positive play, eight yards, 10 yards, 12 yards on the first play of that drive from your own 18-yard line with a minute to go, maybe Brett Hundley is the one driving the Packers down for the walk-off field goal. It's one of those things when that first play goes sour, then the Packers really were kind of trying to run out the clock, but then there was some miscommunication with the next play coming in because the Packers thought Hundley should have been checked out for the helmet hit. Maybe there should have been a flag. All of that, there was really a lot of, I don't want to say chaos, but a lot going on there. And unfortunately, it ended up the Packers punting the ball back and the Steelers still had 17 seconds on the clock.
Well, first and foremost, there should have been a flag. I mean, that's not really debatable if you go back and watch the play. The refs missed that one. It is what it is, though. You don't want to see the crown on the helmet, you know, in any particular case. But that being said, I think you got to give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit. He was really smart with how they used those timeouts. I know there was a lot of people, myself included, who were kind of wondering in the press box, like, why are they letting the clock run down? What exactly are they thinking here? Well, as it turns out, the Packers end up running that draw with Williams. They use that timeout, and that ended up being the difference in this, is because they ended up being able to, you know, the Le'Veon Bell play didn't work out. They lost 2 yards on that, but they were able to control the clock, even though there was only 17 seconds left. And when you have Antonio Brown and the weapons that they have, that's plenty of time for them to operate.
Yeah, and the Steelers even took one timeout into the locker room with them. They actually ended up not even having to use all three the way it went. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, you mentioned it in the last segment, the defense getting three turnovers against that Steelers offense. Demaryius Randle with an interception in the first quarter that sets up what turned out to be the long screen pass for a touchdown to Jamal Williams. And then in the second half, Ahmad Brooks deflects a pass that Blake Martinez is able to slide and intercept. And then Le'Veon Bell, a fumble is forced, kind of a combo hit by Quentin Dial and Morgan Burnett. Ball pops out and Martinez recovers for the Packers. The only downside to the three turnovers is that the offense only got 7 points, only converted those into 7 points. When you win the turnover battle 3-0, you'd like to be able to cash in more, and unfortunately the Packers just weren't able to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's when you look at, you know, traditionally with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, not taking anything away from Brett Hundley, but those are the opportunities that, you know, he salivates for, because it really is a chance to take a home team out of its element and really exact the momentum and get on a run. That being said, they weren't able to convert on those opportunities when they got them, and you know, ultimately, I think that ended up being, you know, kind of the beginning of the end a little bit for Green Bay in this one. I give a lot of credit, though, in terms of what the Steelers did offensively with Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had 20 carries for 95 yards, did not have a carry of more than 14 yards. To average 4.8 yards per carry and not have anything more than 14 yards tells you how good of a running back he is, because that means he's not getting stopped, means he's pushing forward.
He was always getting positive yards, even though he had very few explosive-type plays.
Yeah, so that being said, I think the Packers' defense, with what they were given in this one, did the best they could. I mean, this is a tough unit that they were playing. Antonio Brown is as legit as they come. You're without Clay Matthews. You're without Kenny Clark. They had to make some adjustments. With Kevin King dealing with the shoulder, Demaryius Randle leaves with the cramping issue. There were a lot of, you know, bullets flying out there, and, you know, they still found a way to keep themselves in it.
Yeah, the Packers having to make a lot of adjustments as this game went along. I thought, for as good as Le'Veon Bell was, 180-some total yards from scrimmage, I thought he actually hurt the Packers more in the passing game than he did as a running back. There were some of those second and long situations, particularly a second and 20, I remember, in the fourth quarter after Mike Daniels gets a 10-yard sack. You've got the Steelers in second and 20. The game is tied at 21-all at this point. But then just, you know, basically a quick check down to Le'Veon Bell. He ends up getting 14 yards, and suddenly it's third and 6 when you're hoping maybe there you're going to get him in third and 12 or third and 13 or something like that. And so the Steelers convert that and then go on to score a go-ahead touchdown. Bell in the passing game was tough to handle. He makes that first guy miss quite a bit when he catches a pass in the flat or a little dump off over the middle, whatever it is. He's tough to tackle. The Packers certainly did the best they could. And offensively, you mentioned the whole seizing of the momentum. The Packers get that interception from Martinez off the Brooks deflection. You run the ball with Jamal Williams for a first down. You have first down on the 31-yard line of Pittsburgh. But then two sacks in a span of three plays bumps you back 8 yards. The field goal ends up being 57 yards, right on Mason Crosby's range, as on the fringe of it, as Mike McCarthy said. A tough decision there. Do you kick the field goal, try to go up two scores? Obviously, the risk is the field position, and the risk backfired on the Packers. The Steelers got the good field position, then drove for the tying touchdown the other way. Just that series, to me, first down on the 31-yard line, up by seven, that was where the Packers had a great chance to make it a two-score game, and that really would have put the pressure on the home team.
Yeah, I mean, I get what McCarthy's thinking there, because your defense is playing really well at that point, and they've actually shown the last 2 weeks now that given a short field, they're going to be able to stand up to it. But again, it goes back to when you give it, and they're naturally going to get chances. Pittsburgh has to get the ball after every score or punt. It just works that way. So
right.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to get going. It just so happened that it ended up being on that series, and next thing you know, they're rolling the way they did. As far as the positive just for the Packers defense, I mean, they did end up getting the big play from Damaris Randall early on. I think the way you've seen him bounce back so far this season, now career-high four interceptions for him. Blake Martinez is now fourth in the league in tackles, one shy now of 100 for the season.
Having a tremendous year.
Yeah, so there's a lot of young guys that have been stepping up, but at the end of the day, Mike Daniels said it afterwards, the Packers' offense still scored 28 points against an 8-2 team. You have to find a way to be able to, you know, find a way to win that contest and get more pressure too, because as you said, you had the Daniels 10-yard sack, but then that's all they got.
Right.
So with Ben Roethlisberger, you have to be able to put that pressure on him. He's not easy to get down. I'm not trying to make it sound easier than it is, but you know, one sack, and then you see what happened with Hundley in the second half. That tilted the momentum into the Steelers' favor.
Yeah, the Steelers ended up getting four sacks of Hundley all in the second half, and that really kind of got the crowd into it and started to stifle the Packers a little bit. But before we go to our break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. In Wes' final segment, we take a look at where the Packers stand right now. And it's pretty simple, quite frankly. 5-6, five games to go. I really don't think there is any way a 9-7 record gets you into the playoffs in the NFC the way things are shaping up. The Falcons won, the Panthers won this past weekend. So it's do or die time. Packers have to win their last five games to get to 10 wins. Even that might not be enough, depending on how things shake out. But every game, essentially, the season is on the line from here on out.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because we talked last week. The Packers need to get a little bit of help, you know, going forward. They got zilch this week in terms of Atlanta ends up taking care of business against Tampa. I mean, maybe the 49ers could have put out a miracle against Seattle. That doesn't happen. The Jets can't do it against the Panthers. So, yeah, there's a lot of 7-9 and 6-5 teams in that equation now. Still time left. We'll have to see how much is still on the clock. 5-6 is not where you want to be, but it is interesting sometimes how, and I mentioned this last week, how the narrative can kind of change around things. Chargers are 5-6. We're one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Packers, they started 0-4, and now everybody's talking about them winning the AFC West because Kansas City has fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, and then you have the Packers now 5-6, and you know everything that feels around that. We'll have to see. Aaron Rodgers has a chance here in the next couple of weeks to be practicing again. The question is, though, since the very beginning, if he would get cleared, are they still in a position to make the playoffs? We're going to have to wait and see. Two very winnable games now on the schedule for the Packers. You have to beat Tampa Bay. You have to beat Cleveland. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a gut check time. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah, we know that the earliest Aaron Rodgers can get back into game action is against Carolina in Week 15 with three games to go. And he did have a throwing session a couple of hours before kickoff at Heinz Field. And as I said to a couple of other people, if you didn't know there was something wrong with that shoulder, there's no way to tell. I mean, the way he was slinging the ball and everything, I mean, a great sign. As you said, he will be eligible to come back to practice probably after the Tampa Bay game. At a minimum, Brett Hundley will be starting these next two games against Tampa and Cleveland, as you said. Packers have to win them both and get to 7-6 with three games to go. Then you see if Aaron Rodgers is coming back or not. But regardless, it's win or go home from here on out.
The big thing is you don't want this to end up being the Packers Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have to reset. You have to focus. And I know a lot of guys said afterwards the big message that Mike McCarthy was giving the guys in the post-game locker room speech was keep your heads up. I mean, they played well. They showed. Mike Daniels said if they continue to play that way, they feel they can be a playoff caliber team. Time will tell. They need help. No question about that. But you have to take care of your own business, too. And it starts with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you bring that same mentality, the way they defended the run, the way they play defense, the way Brett Hundley and the offense move the ball, maybe get some help with the running backs getting back. We'll see. But you need to be able to take care of business.
Yeah, and it's time to take care of business at home. We've been talking about three straight losses at Lambeau Field. At the end of the day, that is really what has put the Packers in this position because you've got to win your home games in this league.
December football at Lambeau Field. Got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.